This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
Nope, it's not the DGS. It's the H&K. Hancock and Kelly sitting in for the DGS. They'll be back with you tomorrow, regular time.
They
just cut out a little bit early
not
to go to
worry.
Andrew's mother's funeral. We're glad to have you right here. And John, guess who showed up to the Trump trial up in New York City?
Well, yesterday it was Tommy Tuberville was there, and Marco Rubio was there yesterday.
Today, it was the religious speaker of the House, Mr. Johnson. Mike Johnson showed up at the Republican trial. It's kind of ironic, right, that they're all going up there.
You know who else was there?
To a hush money trial about the former president having sex with a porn star and paying her to keep quiet. And Mike Johnson, of all people, is the voice up there in New York City fighting for Donald Trump.
Vivek Ramaswamy was there as well today. Who's angling to be the vice presidential selection.
Wonder what Mitt Romney shows up.
Is not likely to appear.
I don't think so.
Okay, so I understand the underlying fact set here very well. As I often say, I'm a political consultant, as are you, and I've been advising my clients for years that it's not a good idea to have sex with a porn star. But nonetheless, here we are.
If you're going to run for president.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
right.
You know.
Apparently it's less of an issue now than perhaps it may have been a few years ago. But this case in particular, I have always believed was bogus, and I think it doesn't help the other cases that are pending, if they ever see the light of day, that this is the lead case that's getting adjudicated, because I just don't see the underlying crime. They're trying to say essentially that the payment to the porn star should have been reported on the campaign report. They're saying it's a federal election commission
similar
violation
to the allegations made against John Edwards in 2004.
Who paid off his mistress who had a baby. And they took him to court because he didn't report it as a campaign finance expense. And he was acquitted of those charges.
But he didn't run it the way that this one did, in that it went to Donald Trump's personal lawyer as income.
Right.
And then he wound up paying it. Well, anytime you pay a lawyer, you don't have to pay the same tax rate you do if you were paying,
That's pre-tax
a porn
revenue.
Star
that's
off.
It's a business expense, paying the lawyers. The New York State charge here is that basically it's a failure to pay taxes because he booked the money to Michael Cohen as legal expenses when it was not. The company should not have been able to claim that as a business expense, and thereby they avoided paying state income tax on that money. That's the state charge.
All right.
Now, tax mistakes are made all the time, and you get caught. And if you do get caught that you should have paid taxes on this, then you write a check. You write a check for the amount of taxes, you write a check for the penalty involved, and you're done.
Yeah.
And here what they've done is they've taken this tax charge and they've extrapolated that it was done in the furtherance of a crime, and the crime it was done in furtherance of is a violation of the federal election laws. It's not a good case.
It's not a good case.
And it's a shame because I think, the documents case at Mar-a-Lago, which
is a shame because we have a Trump lawyer who's purposely sitting on it and is trying to kill it. And
delaying
if Donald Trump becomes president, he won't have to stand trial for
that. That case will go away. And that case is significant and serious. I get that people will say, and they have said, well, Biden had documents, Mike Pence had documents. Here's the difference. Donald Trump had hundreds of documents, and not just classified documents. He had some of the most highly classified documents in the United States, things that are only allowed to be seen by a few people. Some of those documents can't even be seen by our allies, let alone our adversaries. And he held those documents, housed those documents, traveled with those documents, shared the contents of at least one of those documents in a meeting of people that didn't have security clearance, and then was asked to give documents back and said he did when he didn't. So that case, there is nothing in the Joe Biden or Mike Pence documents records, and those two examples reveal that we need to have a better system of dealing with our classified materials in the federal government. But the situation with Donald Trump and the documents that he kept, retained, and then stonewalled on returning, that's a real case.
I mean, that's a serious case. But it's being stifled by politics.
Right.
You have a judge who's playing politics. So the accusation that many people on the right have about this New York case is, oh, well, this is just trumped up, made up charges, and they're playing politics. Well, I mean, we're watching it in both places.
Yeah, I wish this New York case was never filed because it's not a serious
case.
But
isn't it interesting, though, and doesn't it put a spotlight on the fact that Mike Johnson, I mean, this is one of these guys who came a part of this Christian wave,
right,
that came, is on trial for paying off a mistress. At the same time, he's selling a Bible, by the way, to tell you that he is, you know, I mean, it's just, it does put a spotlight on how ridiculous it is that Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president, doesn't it?
No, it's only ridiculous in the eyes of some. I mean, Donald Trump's a reflection of what the Republican Party is now.
I know.
And, you know, it's not just an anti-establishment viewpoint. It's a populist viewpoint. We're going to, the free market principles are malleable, and, you know, we're going to impose massive tariffs and, you know, a lot of things that appeal to a lot of people. And what Trump has done is he's lopped off some 12, 15, 20% of the historical Republican voters who are movement conservatives, Reagan era Republicans. He's lopped those off. But he's added in a whole lot of blue collar, working class, high school educated, primarily white voters, some minorities, and created essentially a new Republican Party. And I don't think that's going to change. Even if Donald Trump were to go away tomorrow, the Republican Party as an institution, as a political movement in the country, has changed. It has realigned in a way that it hasn't realigned since the days of Ronald Reagan. And I think that change may not be permanent, but it's here to stay for a good long while.
Have you been watching any of this trial via the cable news?
Not really.
So I have. I've been watching.
I keep up with it on, you know.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. It's a little blurb. So I've watched it that same way. So I've dipped into
CNN.
Because
it's not televised. The trial itself
is not
televised.
No, it's really weird. Like, live on CNN, they're reading pieces and transcripts from the... And it's really kind of weird that we're doing this. At the same time, it's also weird that we have a president of the United States facing criminal charges and who's been indicted 97-something times. I mean, it's just a strange time. But when you watch the coverage, it's crazy. Now you flip over to Fox News, there ain't nothing happening with Donald Trump. Well, I mean, I guess they're showing Mike Johnson and folks, but they're not covering it by the minute. And then over on MSNBC, you know, they're in a ridiculous state of euphoria covering it. It's like we're all living in different planets trying to consume what's going on, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the case for quite some time. And that's why you've really got to expose yourself to multiple news outlets, both for source material and certainly for analysis and opinion.
Because where do you go?
It's all over the map.
Where do you go?
Everywhere.
So I
go everywhere. I'll watch Fox News.
Yeah.
I'll watch CNN. I'll watch a little bit of MSNBC if I can stomach it.
Right.
And then you read the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Right.
You look at the Daily Beast is another good place to go for right of center information. Wall Street Journal certainly is good. Although Wall Street Journal is a Reagan-esque type Republican publication, it doesn't really reflect the Republican Party today so much.
But you
get a breadth of exposure to a breadth of news sources, and that's the best way to digest.
I find myself first thing in the morning, usually I try to go to both Huffington Post and Drudge Report to kind of just see where the table's being set from both the left and the right.
Well, Drudge is certainly...
Well, he's moving a bit now, and he's not a Trumper.
No.
But then from there, you're right. You kind of trickle into the other sources. And I don't know. I find myself looking as much as, okay, who's this coming from? Where was it originally from, et cetera, so that I can decipher my own news consumption. Because sometimes you'll get fooled with this stuff. You'll read something and think, that just doesn't seem right. And in fact, it's not right.
Yeah. And if you're only getting one side, and here's the other thing. Opinion shows are just that. and you're going to get a point of view and an opinion show. And I, the folks that do the news now, you know, there's no question that the mainstream media in this country is left of center. The people that are writing the stories, the people that are, you know, anchoring the newscast, it's left of center. But it's still under a penumbra of journalistic principles. And so you've got to differentiate news content from opinion content. And that's easy to do in the newspaper because they have an editorial page. But on the TV news, the news programs typically are in the afternoon and the opinion programs are typically in the evening.
And buddy, you lost me when you started using the word penumbra. I'm like, I got to Google that one. What the heck was that? I've known you 20 years of my life. I've never heard you out the old penumbra. Hey, he's got an opinion. I got an opinion. We got a couple other things, too. But we're going to find out about these meme stocks, GameStop, AMC.
Crazy.
Everything's going crazy in the market. And it sounds like a bunch of geeks behind computers are doing it.
Well, you got this rabbit head guy out there that's stirring everything up. So we're going to get to the bottom of it. Who's our expert?
Dave Simons is going to join us. Stick around right after this on the Mighty Mighty Mox.
I'm Rachel Zimmerman. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
We go to the celebrity guest line where we're joined by none other than Dave Simons, the host of the Dollars and Cents Show, which you can hear right here on KMOX. We thought we needed to get a little education. Who better to help us with the market?
There's nobody better.
Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Michael.
So this market's rolling,
and
right?
John, got to say hi to John, too. Hello,
yeah, well,
there.
Equal opportunity. So this market's rolling. I mean, both in the NASDAQ and the Dow continue to hit really high. What's going on out there?
Well, you know, look, everything is going to get back to the Fed and the economy. And so with the Fed, the whole thing was, okay, they're going to be cutting rates at some point. Well, that's been pushed back. If you would have told me earlier in the year that here we are in May and we don't know when the Fed's going to cut rates, I would have said, well, that's not good for the market. But you know what it is, Michael? It's the economy, man. The all this fear about us going into a recession, which almost seemed inevitable according to a lot of economists and market strategists, is not materializing. GDP growth is a lot stronger than expected. Inflation has come down, but people forgot we can live with 3.5% inflation. Not forever. We want it to come down. And we can live with interest rates at 4 to 5%. Not forever. But we've gone decades in the past with those numbers right there, and the economy grew just fine. We just kind of forgot how to do it.
Well, in the midst of this, gold rush or whatever's happening in the markets that you just explained, there's also some games being played. And I remember a couple of years ago was hearing about GameStop and AMC, and things that ultimately became called meme stocks. They were a flash in the pan there for about 3 years. It all went silent. Well, guess what? It's all returned in the last 24 hours. What is going on, Dave?
Yeah, gosh, man. So we all remember the classic line in that movie, Poltergeist, with the little girl staring at the TV. They're back. Well, that's kind of what's happening now. But in this case, I think it's a combination of a horror movie and a comedy like Dumb and Dumber, because now we've got the dumb trading back in because, from what I understand, the guy who was the cult leader originally behind these GameStop, these meme stocks, and in particular GameStop, was this roaring kitty, real name Keith Gill. He's been AWOL for 3 years, and all of a sudden, yesterday morning, he posts just a picture of himself. He's been gone now for 3 years. Out of nowhere, he posts a picture of himself leaning towards a computer like he's about to do something. He doesn't even write anything. And all these minions who have been kind of in hibernation come out, Rory Kitty's back. He's back. That means the stocks are going to fly again. And they bid this stuff up double and tripling. I don't have an explanation for it. It's crazy. I don't understand the gambling aspect of it. And it's not going to end well, just like it didn't end well the last time.
But, Dave, some people are getting rich and some people are paying the bill. Am I the regular old guy just in my 401k? Am I the one taking it in the shorts? Where's this money going?
Well, so you're right. Some people are going to get, I wouldn't say necessarily rich. Look, these are typically smaller traders, newer traders who've got a few bucks. That's what it was the last time. Most of them lost pretty much everything they put in because that stock came crashing right back to where it was and even lower. And we already started to see that today. As GameStop, AMC, all of these former stocks, they fell. They were up for the day today, but from their peak, they were down anywhere from 30 to 40%. So people are already starting to get hurt. Now, I don't think it's over yet. These things last a little while longer. What typically happens is you stay too long at the party. If this is pure luck, this is not skill. If anyone decided that they were going to follow Roaring Kitty's lead again, and they've doubled or tripled their money, they would be stupid, idiotic, not to have sold right now and get out. Unfortunately, we are human. We give in to greed. And that's what's going to take place, I think, in a lot of cases. And they're just going to lose most of their money again. It's going to happen.
So this thing, it's kind of like the cicadas. You go away for a few years, pop back up out of the ground. And,
yeah.
And the stock's running away out there. An old rabbit head or whatever you call this guy. People are following him. Explain to me, educate me about how this affects the short sellers in the market.
Well, when you've shorted a stock, and I won't go into the full explanation of how you do that, so let's just start with this. And people who are shorting these stocks are typically the big institutional players. That actually feeds into the buying frenzy, because when you've shorted a stock, to cover that short and complete the trade round trip, you have to go in and buy the stock, okay? So when you have shorted a stock, let's say, at $10, and now it's at $20, you've lost a lot of money. Because remember, it's reverse for you. You only make money when the stock goes down. When you buy a stock, let's put it this way, what is your biggest risk? What's the most you can lose? Whatever you put into it. It could go to zero, and if you put $10,000 into a stock, theoretically, you could lose $10,000. When you short a stock, in theory, your losses are infinite, because when a stock keeps going higher and higher and higher and higher, your losses keep going higher and higher and higher and higher. So these big institutional guys have lost billions with a B, billions of dollars the last couple of days as these former meme stocks have taken off once again. So these institutional guys have to go in and also buy against their better judgment, but they have to cover their shorts, or they'll keep losing money. And that's also what's happening here. I don't think the average investor guys understands that. They think this is all buying for people who want to profit. No, a lot of this is people who are buying because they have to cover their shorts, and that will end soon enough.
And so would we call those short guys, the guys who are having to pay for the bill, the hedge fund guys?
That's exactly right.
So am I supposed to feel bad for the hedge fund guys, Dave?
Nope. You know, you guys were talking politics right now and populist and all that. I'm telling you, it bleeds into investing as well. And it's the same mindset with these meme stock investors. They think they're sticking it to the man. They are sticking it to Wall Street. They are sticking it to the billionaires. And it works occasionally. It worked temporarily in 2000 or in 20 and 21 until it didn't. And it's working now. But in the end, the big guys will win, and they'll take it right back from the little guy again. And that's where what's going to happen again.
Are you detecting any kind of a long-term trend in the market right now? Or is it too volatile? Is the election going to interfere much? Or what are you looking down the road?
John, I don't – politics historically, even in a year like this, typically is not a major market mover, and I don't think it will be again this time. I am focused much more on this battle to try to tame inflation and bring it back down. I think they'll eventually be successful, but it'll take a lot longer than expected. I am mildly bullish on this market. Politics off to the side. The economy is, I think, strong enough to support this thing. Do I think the market's a little overvalued here? Yeah. So maybe it can pull back a little bit. But we remain fully invested in this going forward, and that includes through election time later this year.
Well, we bring you the experts here on the DGS, and we just did. Dave Simons, the host of Dollars and Cents, enlightening us all about what's happening in the stock market. We got the news next. When we come back, Michael Kelly and John Hancock are going to tackle one of the biggest questions of the day. That's next on KMOX.
Dive into all things Cardinals on Cardinals Conversations, your go-to location for exclusive content from KMOX. Catch it on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected with your team. Cardinals Conversations, where the Redbird talk never stops.
All right, here's a little bad news for you.
Bad news? I don't want to hear any bad news.
Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Is closing 50 restaurants across the United States.
Yeah. What's the big deal?
Buffalo, Orlando, Jackson. Have you ever had the Red Lobster rolls?
I have.
The bread rolls?
I have.
I think I'm not into the fish, but man, I could go there and eat those bread rolls forever.
You're not into the fish at Red Lobster?
Not really.
That's why they're closing 50 stores.
But dude, did you ever have the, what are they, like cheese rolls that they
yeah,
have?
Yeah, they're very good. They're very good. You can buy the rolls at the grocery store.
I've done it. It's no good. No. Have you ever tried it?
No.
Yeah, it comes in a little box there.
Yeah.
And they tell you, oh, you can make them just like you have at the, no, because they got a special oven that's like crisping those guys
oven.
On the bottom and
a
on the
special
side.
Oven.
Well, I would assume. I can't do it in mine.
Huh, they've got a special oven for the
Why don't you, on
rolls.
The way home this evening, buy some of those and see if you can make it work?
Well, the Red Lobster by me isn't closing down, so... How do you know? Well, because it's not in Orlando or Buffalo or any of those other places.
Well, they didn't list the Missouri places that are closing yet.
Yeah, and I would think that a lot of those places have, you know, fresh fish right there. You know, you got the water right out there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it doesn't shock me that a seafood place next to the ocean... A chain seafood place next to the ocean is not exactly going to thrive.
Yeah,
but I love the Red Lobster.
You probably are going to agree with me on this, which is rare for us.
Mm.
But I think the Central Time Zone is the best time zone of all the time zones.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Right.
There's no question about it. We're right in the middle. Nothing's too early, and you know, the West Coast can get, you know.
Well,
like last night, for example, I couldn't stay up
for the Dallas game.
For the Cardinal game.
Oh, for the Cardinal game. Well, yeah. So, but at least they're starting the Cardinal games now at around 8:30.
8:38 first pitch this
evening,
right here on
KMOX. The West Coast games used to be at 9:15.
9:35.
Turns into 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a game goes into the ninth inning. You know, you're up till midnight.
Right.
And it's always aggravating when we do these national championship games. They don't start them till 8 o'clock at night, basketball, football, whatever they are. And they pour on till – and I always think, man, if you're on the East Coast, that game's not starting until 9 o'clock.
Right.
So the East Coast teams, when they go out west, it's 9:30 when their baseball games are starting.
Later.
Yeah.
Or later.
And who cares, though? If you're on the West Coast, I guess you don't want your games in the middle of the day, 2 o'clock. But really, what productivity in most places happens after about 2:30?
Well, quite a bit. But here's the thing. And the reason why Central Time Zone rocks, absolutely rocks, is because it's like Goldilocks. You got, you know, too early over here. You got too late over there. We are just right.
All right.
Just right. Now, it is... When you are a snooker aficionado, as I am, those matches over in England can be a little tough.
Yeah,
because when they start at 10 in the morning, it's 4 a.m. here.
Yeah, but the only problem I have with the Central Time Zone is like the morning shows in the morning, like the Today Show and the Good Morning America. Those are all on tape delay from an hour that happened in New York City. Yeah, but don't you want to be the center of the universe? I want to know the stuff when it's happening. I don't want to hear George Stephanopoulos tell me something an hour after he's already said it.
I wouldn't listen to him anyway.
All right. Well, who's on Channel 5? Hoda Kotb. You know, I want her to tell me.
I wouldn't listen to her anyway.
Well, who do you listen to?
In the morning?
Yeah.
I like to listen to me in the morning.
Do you give your own little radio show in the morning for George?
I sit there at the kitchen table and tell everybody what's happening.
Really?
Yeah.
And how does that work?
They love it.
Yeah.
Gus, the dog, he sits there and listens to the whole thing and enjoys every minute of it.
I have a hard time believing that.
No. It's true. It's because I made the perfect pot of coffee to start the day, which I prepare skillfully the night before.
Hmm.
So I get all my grounds right there. I scoop them into the little thing there.
This
the
is weird. The dude is obsessed with making his coffee the night before
he
goes to bed.
I get up in the morning. I roll out of bed. I go downstairs. Boom. I hit the button.
Unless, what happens if your carafe is broken?
Well, then you got problems. Because but that only happens.
I think one time, did you not have it all, and you went down and pushed your button, and your carafe was broken, and you had coffee all over?
That was a bad day.
See, that's because you have this mindset that, oh, my coffee's going to be perfect when I go for it downstairs, you're not putting the loving and tenderness time in the morning. You're doing it the night before.
Oh, yeah. And when I'm of sound mind, I'm not just waking up. I got the coffee right there, and you hit that button, Michael, and you can smell it then immediately. And it's glorious.
How long is that time period in the morning before you like finally snap to? Like, are you a 30-minute kind of guy, or do you
depends
need an
on the
hour
day
of silence?
Depends. No. I'm when I get up, I'm in a good mood.
Really?
Because I've gotten up.
Right.
You know.
So, well, you've already done your workout.
Because the day's coming where I'm not going to get up. And so if I'm getting up in the morning, I'm in a good mood. And then the coffee's there, and you're smelling it, and you're drinking. By the time I finish that cup of coffee, I'm ready to start thinking about the rest of the day.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're a list guy, right?
Don't you
like write down lists?
I have. You know what's terrible about the list? I make these lists, and then I can't find the darn things.
Yeah.
What did I do with my list? I got the list there. I made it yesterday. What was on the list? I can't remember because I made a list, and now I can't find the list.
Yeah.
So I've got to make a list to tell me where to leave the list.
Yeah.
I got to leave the list in the same place every day. Otherwise, my list is going to be listless.
What's the first thing on your list every morning? Exercise? I mean, did you usually go do your push-ups?
Well, I do my weightlifting right out of bed,
uh-huh.
and then I go on about my day.
Yeah,
but I lift weights every morning.
Yeah,
uh huh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you have the dog duties in the morning?
I do.
Yeah.
So he's got to have his two gabapentins. He's got the half of the other thing that he takes.
What is this, medicine?
Yeah, yeah.
Your dog is on medicine?
He's on all kinds of stuff.
Okay. It's not just heartworms and stuff like that?
No, and he's got neuroses. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah,
but I give him his medicine and the cheese, and I feed him, then I take him out for a walk. And
cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, you wrap the medicine up in a cheese?
He won't eat the medicine if it's not in the cheese. And sometimes he'll spit the pills out and eat the cheese, that dog.
Really?
So you got to keep an eye on the thing.
He's a bit snobbish when it comes to
he doesn't like taking his
the consumption of his medicine.
You know, and we do nothing but constantly feed the thing. So anyway, we need to step aside, Michael. We got traffic to keep an eye on out there. There's news happening all over the place. All kinds of things here on the DGS on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Roger Brand, and this is KMOX, the Voice of St. Louis.
Well, it's official, John.
What?
2023
yeah,
was the hottest in 2,000 years. It's been discovered by our scientists who say that 2023 was the hottest year in 2,000 years.
What? This stuff drives me crazy.
What?
How do they know? They don't know is the answer to that question. Was St. Peter running around with a thermostat?
That was what one of the three wise men showed up with. Gold, frankincense, and a thermometer.
They have no idea what the temperatures were 2,000 years ago. How can they? And so they say this stuff, and they tell you global warming's destroying the planet. And to prove it, they say it was the hottest summer in 2,000 years. That is...
Well, I think
poppycock.
They're deducing it from saying that...
Deducing it. They don't know.
In 1850, when we started to record...
Okay. Which was... Let me do the math
here. A little over 100 years.
That was not 2,000 years ago,
no.
1850.
We've seen a 3.72 degree increase.
Uh-huh.
So one would have to, insinuate that it's hotter now than it was 2,000 years ago.
Why?
Because it's hotter now than it was 100 years ago.
You don't know that. They don't know
that. I'm just telling you what this is saying.
This is not science. And this is what drives me crazy about all this stuff. Because they're trying to ruin our economy because...
The economy is the greatest it's been ever.
Right, but they're trying to ruin it by telling you that we're going to all have to change. We're all going to have electric cars. Don't know what to do with the
batteries. But people have electric cars. It's not ruining our economy. It's making it stronger.
I'm telling you, they're selling us this global warming stuff and trying to change everybody's lifestyle. And then they come out with this... crackpot science with the quotation marks in my, if you're watching on television, which you're not because we're on the radio, the science that 2,000 years ago, it's the warmest since, they have no idea. They have no idea what the temperature was 2,000 years ago, and they're trying to sell us a bag of hooey.
That there's just stuff from 2,000 years ago we just can't know?
We can't know what the temperature was because we didn't have a means to measure the temperature.
Do you have strong feelings about this issue?
I have strong feelings about the bastardization of science.
Yeah.
Science is the study of what is and what was, and telling you that the temperature 2,000 years ago was X is ridiculous because they had no idea.
But you have to believe that in modern times, which I guess we could say is since Christ's birth, zero, it would only make temperatures have been getting hotter on the Earth.
So how would you say that?
It would be easy to say.
It was an ice age back there.
But that was 10,000 years ago.
And what was before that?
We're talking about 2,000.
Might as well ask the scientists what the temperature was in 6,000 BC.
From 2,000 years ago.
So I
don't know that it's wrong to insinuate that the hottest year that we know of is the hottest since Christ was born.
Let me tell you, I've read the entire Bible. Not one place in the Bible does it tell you what the temperature was.
Really?
Because they didn't know what the temperature was because they couldn't measure what the temperature was. And to have this presented to us as science, it drives me crazy. That is not science. That's somebody with a political point to make, to scare everybody that global warming is going to destroy the planet. We're all going to bubble up and die. That's my beef. I'm going to rest my case.
I don't take that from
blood pressure is now higher than it has been.
But I don't take it the way that you just did. You've decided this doom and gloom and they're trying to do this, etc. I think they're pointing out that the world is warmer now than it's been. It's probably going to continue to get warmer. We are having climate change. There are places, now whether or not it's man-made, you know, I believe it, a lot of it is contributed to by man, but I don't believe that that's solely the cause. And eventually we're going to have places in our country that will move down. It's happened before. It gets hotter, it gets colder.
Keep your eye on the science out there, folks. They're selling you a bag of goods.